Messiah. He brought change. Things are totally different now after 8 years of Obama. The rich are no longer rich and the poor are no longer poor and everybody has free health care. Eight years of Obama has given rise to Donald Trump. That's awesome. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, be triggered, look for a safe space, whatever you gotta do. You can shove your opinion up your ass, that way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. And don't forget, my friends and my enemies, boys and girls, the third and final possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Greetings, it is I, Great One himself, founder of Seneca Libertarian Society on a Monday morning. You'll be hearing this on Wednesday morning, but I'm recording it on Monday morning. And what is this? Well, my friends, this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that comes in on to destroy stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. It does not matter what kind of statist you are, even be. You'd be a right-wing statist, a left-wing statist, a femistatist, a homostatist, a tranny statist, a statheist. It doesn't fucking matter what flavor of statist you are. The 50 caliber machine gun will fucking mow you down. Those are Teflon-coated, armor-piercing bullets. They will go through whatever the fuck you have. Good morning! It's Monday. It's another glorious morning in my life. And who am I to have these glorious mornings? I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. Been on the internet since 1999. Been podcasting for 11 years. 12-year anniversary on November the 1st. It's coming up. In the control room right over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. She's a sound engineer. You can send us email. God. Dog spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And of course the website is CYNLIBSOC.motherfucking.com. And we're on the Twitterverse until such time as Anita Sarkeesian bans me at CYNLIBSOC. Went trail running this morning, and once again, I was out there, so I left my house around 7:45. And so it's 8. By the time I got to the point I'm going to tell you the story, it's like 8:15 probably. And I'm down by the river, and I'm out there, and there's three deer on the other side of the river. It's a mother and her two fawns. And they're down in the water walking around and doing the stuff deer do, like eating and drinking and pooping and doing deer stuff. And I'm standing on the opposite bank and I'm looking at the deer. I stopped running because I told you before, when I don't make a lot of progress in trail running as far as speed, because I have to stop every time I see animals to look at. And it was also a trail running morning where I was not listening to the music player because the batteries were dead. I started off, I took off, and I had some Les Brown going on. I've been listening to Les Brown like a motherfucker. And he started playing, and then the music player shut down because the batteries ran out because I didn't charge it up. And I'm sure that's the fault of the patriarchy, because I couldn't possibly have anything to do with not charging my music player. Pretty sure white men did this to me because nothing is my fault. I'm like a woman. Nothing I do is ever my fault. And so it's 8:15-ish, whatever. I'm standing out here by the river. No iPod music or talking going on. Just me and the nature. And there's the sound of the river. There's the breeze is blowing. And there's all birdies chirping. Chirpy, chirp, 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 chirp. And there's this mother deer and her two fawns, and we're just like hanging out there. I'm thinking to myself, it's Monday morning. And how many of you losers are getting in a fucking car? How many of you losers are in a car right now, driving down the highway, going to a job that you hate? Here I am, out here in nature. Fresh air, bird song, deer, sound of the river, exercise. Ah, oh, man. You know, boys, because one day you're going to die. And none of you, except maybe the stupid ones, are going to lay there on your deathbed and think, I sure do wish I'd have spent more time in my car making the commute to that job where I worked 45 hours a week that I hated so much, but I was making six figures, but I sure did hate it. I wish I'd have spent more time at that job I hated so much. Ah, yes. I just wanted to rub that in for those of you who work 40 hours a week in a cubicle job that you hate. I just wanted to fucking rub that in. And perhaps give you a little bit of motivation to work on doing something different with your life. Because, hey, I've been trapped in a 40-hour a week fucking cubicle job I hated. More than once. But the last one I had, they laid me off. And it was I'm not going to backtrack. The story is all there in way past episodes of Stating the Obvious. Back when I worked at CSU, I talked about all the corruption. I talked about I've talked about all this. One of these days, when I'm old, you know what I'm going to do when I'm old? Okay. Here, oh my God. All right. I should do a living will. Randy, I'm half-ass serious about this. Don't let me forget this. As you'll say, when I get old, and if I become decrepit, whatever, where I can't physically get up and move around and like go running and shit, if I'm sort of trapped indoors, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come back and listen to all of my own podcast and like remember and like. God, I sound like a fucking 14-year-old girl. Oh my God, and like, I'm like totally going to like, like, I'm going to listen to all of my podcast and I'll be able to hear all the stories and remember all this stuff because I have forgotten more about working at CSU. And the beautiful thing is all those memories are locked up in the podcast. But here's my thing, Randy. I should have a living will that if I ever become comatose or something like that, I want them too, like I'm in a vegetative state, I'm in a coma or something, nobody knows if I'm conscious or not. Although, in the book I was talking about a while back that I listened to an audiobook while I was trail running, what was The Ravenous Brain is what the book is called. I can't remember the name of the guy who wrote it, but you can look for the book. Again, it's a good book. I recommend that you read it or listen to it. It's very, very, very interesting. The Ravenous Brain. I think that's what it was. It's on the reading list, which I need to update. Anyhow, he talked about ways that you could use brain imaging, MRI, stuff like that, to determine if a person who is in what outwardly appeared to be a vegetative state had any level of consciousness. Because he explains there's different... what the fuck? Because vegetative is one. The other one is called something else. But there's like one state you're in. And maybe it's just the coma, but it seems like it's a different word. But you can be, you know, from the observer can look at you and you're not moving. You don't respond, things like that. But you can still have brain activity, or your brain could be completely no activity going on at all. Your brain could be completely no activity going on at all. Kind of like my brain was when I formed that sentence. So you can have brain activity, you could not have brain activity, but somebody, you know, a doctor looking at you, he is talking about they have things they do, yada, 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 but those doctors currently have things they look at, but those things have been shown to not be very effective at really determining whether there's brain activity or not. And then he talks about ways you can use MRIs to find out if a person is in a state where they look like they can't respond, but they can hear and they can think. And he talks. Anyhow, this is all in the book. This is why you should read the book, because it's really interesting. Here's the thing, Randy. If I'm ever in a coma, vegetative state, whatever, I want them to put a speaker next to each of my ears, and I want headphones because I don't want the speakers. I want a little distance, and I want them to download all my podcasts onto a computer and start with number one and just play them so that if I am conscious, I can lay there in my comatose state and listen to my own greatness. People are going, you are so arrogant. But of course, you of course think that you could, vote for Obama and Obama could murder people in foreign countries with flying robots, which is fascinating. This is fascinating. When the Messiah, your Messiah, Hussein Obama, the first affirmative action president, second coming of Jesus Christ, and a man who is in fact only half black, not completely black, murders Muslims with flying robots, you celebrate that. Yet when I point out that all terrorists are also Muslims and that Muslims want to come to countries filled with white people to access welfare and rape white women, well, I'm racist, sexist, and homophobic. So I suppose, if I was killing the Muslims with flying robots, and if I were half black, you would be celebrating me. I would be your Messiah. You would be singing praises in my name. That reminds me of something I should do. Let me write this down real quick. Hi, 10 o'clock. All right. Anyhow, I wrote that note down. I got my coffee, which I need to refill. Euthanasia, the euthanasia thing here in Colorado. I talked about that a little bit. I talked about my friend who is obsessed with the government giving him permission to kill himself. And I'm not going too far on this. Just, as I was running today, I came back through town and look, I always stop and look at the newspaper headlines. Apparently, and I don't know a whole lot about this, I have an article right here in front of me, though, on the interwebs. I can bring this up. Three police officers shot and killed a guy. Here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Eddie Jackson filed police reports May 5th, August 23rd, alleged her husband had twice violated a protective order issued on May 5th. That's because protective orders don't work, right? A protective order can't keep somebody away from you, but a gun can. In the first incident, he allegedly tried to break into her home. In the second incident, he repeatedly called and left messages on her phone. One message, he said, "You want me dead, that's what's going to happen." Yada, yada, yada. Was this? I'm just curious. Let's see. Eddie Jackson from... blah, blah, blah. And I'm just wondering, I'm assuming this guy was at one point fucking her, which again shows us why, you know, women. It's like, why would you fuck somebody who's this fucked up? But, oh yeah, because you want the bad boy alpha male sperm. Same reason you want Muslims to come over here and rape you. Anyhow, blah, 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 blah. Jackson made his final call from his wife's home as he watched officers arrive at Jack's and talk to his estranged wife. According to DA's, police saw him cross Highway 10 and approached him in her driveway. So yeah, he was married. This woman married this guy who is so psycho. When the police asked him to take his hands out of his pocket, he brandished a knife. They pulled out their guns at least 18 times. And this is not the article I saw. But the article I saw said that two of the police officers had their little chest cams running, and the cameras have validated their side of the story. Which is good. I mean, again, you know, if you've listened to this any time, you know I am not a fan of the police in general, because they're part of the state, yada yada, and on and on, and I'm not going to go into all the depth of why the police don't work, and they're, you know, they have no incentive to prevent crime, and blah, 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 fucking blah. I'm all about the police officers having a chest cam because, yes, there are some police officers who are not evil, worthless pieces of shit. There are. I think it's less than 50%. I think most I think over 50% of people on any given police force are there because they are psychopathic scumbags. So I'm all in favor of the cameras. Anyhow, the cameras validated the story as told by the police officers. 18 times they commanded him to drop the knife, warned him they would shoot. He ignored them and continued to advance towards the officers. Brown deployed his taser, Brown being one of the cops, and only one of the two probes made contact. Heaton deployed his taser, but it failed also. So we have two cops deploying two tasers, and both tasers failed. So what good are tasers again? That's not very effective. They continued to back away from Jackson, but they came within feet of passing traffic. Jackson told them they would have to shoot him and continued to close the distance between them. When he came within an unsafe distance, the three officers fired their guns three times each in less than a second. Jackson fell to the pavement and he was dead. The article doesn't say he was dead, but he was dead. He took 9 bullets. And again, if this is apparently an accurate representation of what happened, the guy was coming, he had a knife, they tried to taser him, didn't work because either they don't know how to fucking use a taser, or tasers are shitty technology, or the tasers were purchased from the lowest bidder, I don't know, but the tasers didn't fucking work, and they told him back the fuck up, and he said, no, I'm going to keep coming and you're going to shoot me, and they fucking shot him. 100% in agreement with the police officer's actions, just for the record. If motherfucker's coming at you with a knife, you fucking shoot him. Now, one might make the argument, there's three of them and one of him, I've made this argument before, that, you know, hey, if three cops can't take down one guy with a knife, then they suck. But then again, as I pointed out, police officers don't really have training on hand-to-hand combat and all this other shit. What they have training in is how to write tickets. And the man made it clear he wanted to die. Well, what's not indicated is, was he on any drugs, alcohol, anything like that at the time, or was he completely sober? Anyhow, why I'm reading this, why this is relevant, what this has to do with anything, before I fucking move on with what I'm supposed to be talking about, because I got some material to talk about today, is this. Here in Colorado right now, they're trying to get this thing about legalized euthanasia. And I have my friend who's all obsessed with legalized euthanasia. And I've told him, I said, you know, if you're too stupid to kill you, why can't you just kill yourself? And he's like, well, some people aren't smart enough. You might try to kill yourself and you might mess it up. Okay, if you want to die and you're concerned that you're too stupid to kill yourself, first of all, you should be dead. Second of all, here's how you do it. You get a butcher knife, because that's what the guy had, not a butcher knife, but he had like a big kitchen knife. You get a big kitchen knife and you walk towards police officers and tell them you're going to stab them. The police will be happy to legally kill you. If you're too stupid to kill yourself, this is yet another potential solution, and it's already legal. Police officers can kill people who are trying to kill them. It's not that fucking hard to die. In fact, I mean, look how many people in the United States of America would be dead if the government did not go to great lengths to keep them alive. Welfare, WIC, Social Security, food stamps, section, whatever the fuck it is that gets you discount on your housing, affirmative action for jobs. Look how many of you would be dead if simply left to your own devices. Dying is not that fucking hard. The fact that so many of you out there need help to die is yet again a beautiful illustration of why democracy doesn't fucking work. Democracy is the problem, not the solution. Hispanic lawmaker fires back at Trump. With temperatures rising over Donald Trump's recent attacks on an American-born judge of Mexican descent, a Hispanic congressman from Texas penned an open letter to the presumptive GOP presidential nominee Monday, telling him to, quote, take your border wall and shove it up your ... unquote. Now, this is, all these articles I have here are old because, as you guys know, this is not a current events show. Okay, not if you're new here, this is not a current events show. I talk about shit from years ago sometimes. First thing I find interesting is that this lawmaker's name is not mentioned in the first paragraph. The second thing I find interesting is that you have to remember, if it were not for Donald Trump, nobody would know who this fucking faggot even is. And you still don't know who he is because his name's not in the first paragraph, and I'm not reading any more of it because it doesn't matter. The only point, what's also interesting is the perspective here from the journalist. Of course, the journalist does not mention this congressman's name in the opening paragraph, but he does be sure to mention that the congressman is Hispanic. Because identity politics, that's the word I'm looking for. Who he is specifically does not matter to the journalist writing the piece. What matters is, well, he's Hispanic. Attacker's dad reportedly calls sex assault 20 minutes of action. Oh my god. And yesterday, if you didn't see it, check out the triggering linkage post yesterday. There's a video which I just saw Dave over at Computing Forever. I haven't watched his video yet, but I saw he did a video about it. It's this woman does this video where she gets out of her car and this man says hello to her and she freaks out that she's being sexually harassed. It's like, holy fuck, woman, you are so insane. It is absolutely mind-boggling. And it's just, oh, this is where feminism is going. You say hello to a woman and she's been sexually harassed. When you look at them, you're raping them, according to the Femistatist. The father of a former Stanford University swimmer who is convicted of sexual assault has sparked outrage, of course he has, after reportedly saying that his son should not be imprisoned over 20 minutes of action. There's just something really funny. 20 minutes of action. And of course, half the women out there are going, I wish I could find a man who would last for 20 minutes. I'm just saying that 20 minutes might be an exaggeration. All right, focus. Last week, Brock Turner. Really? I mean, look, Brock? Somebody actually named their kid Brock? Brock Turner was sentenced to 6 months in county jail for sexually assaulting the unconscious and intoxicated woman last year. The sentence has been decried as an inadequate punishment and sparked a recall petition of the Santa Clara County Superior Court Judge Aaron Persky. Over the weekend, Michelle Dauber, a law professor at Stanford University, tweeted some of the probation pre-sentence report in which a statement attributed to Dan Turner said his son, Brock's life had been, quote, deeply altered forever, unquote. Yeah, and that's what feminism will do to your life. It will fuck it up when you live in a feminist-oriented society. know what I don't know from this article. At least I don't think it's in here. Well, now let me finish. So, in theory, he sexually assaulted this unconscious and intoxicated woman. I don't know the details. Maybe they're coming in the article. Maybe they're not. We'll find out when we get there. But as always, an intelligent person, which there's not many of us, as you know that, if you're still here, you're smarter than the average bear, you know there's not many of us. An intelligent person would, of course, want to know, well, what was she doing before she became unconscious and intoxicated? Did she choose? Oh, that's right, but she's a woman. Women don't have agency. Women are never responsible. They're equal to men, who are always responsible, but women are never responsible. But I wonder if Brock was drunk when this happened. But see, that doesn't matter. See, if Brock does something drunk, he's still responsible. But if a woman does something when she's drunk, well, she's not responsible, because women are equal. He said that his son now, quote, eats only to exist, unquote, and said the verdict has broken and shattered Brock and the family. Quote, his life will never be the one that he dreamed about and worked so hard to achieve. That is a steep price to pay for 20 minutes of action out of his 20-plus years of life. Unquote. Twitter users reacted angrily, as if Twitter users matter. Twitter users reacted angrily. Is this really where journalism, and it is, this is where journalism is at. Journalism in the year 2016 is about telling people what users on Twitter said. It's about telling people, journalism is telling people who don't give a shit about the emotional vomit posted on Twitter by people who, were it not for the government keeping them alive, would be dead. This is what passes for journalism. Twitter users reacted angrily to the letter Dan Turner reportedly read in the court ahead of the sentencing. In it, he called probation, quote, the best answer for Brock in this situation, unquote. Statement came in contrast to one read aloud in court by the victim, who gives a shit. The statement went viral Friday after the letter was released to the media. The victim's 12-page letter detailed her experience after Turner was seen assaulting her behind a dumpster near a fraternity house on January 18th, 2015. Oh, you millennials, you're so classy. Yeah, I got this woman drunk, and I fucked her behind a dumpster. Oh, you're so classy. You're the smartest generation ever. Now, here's what I want to know. How could she write a 12-page letter detailing her experience if she was unconscious when the experience happened? I know. This is sexist, this is racist, this is homophobic. If, over here it says, 6 months in county jail for sexually assaulting an unconscious and intoxicated woman. Here it says she wrote a 12-page letter detailing her experience after Turner was seen assaulting her. If she was unconscious, what could she possibly write 12 pages about? She would have no memory of the experience. Quote, I want to show people that one night of drinking can ruin two lives, you and me. You are the cause, I am the effect. Again, he is the cause. This is important. He is the cause. She had nothing to do with going to the frat party. She had nothing to do with choosing to go to that college. She had nothing to do with drinking the alcohol. No, she had nothing to do with anything. She is this pure, virginal angel who has never made a mistake in her life. And anything, that's what I love about women. Women expect, and I'm consciously saying women here, not feminist. Women expect on one hand that men should never judge them, should never hold them accountable. And on the other hand, women also expect that men should always approve of everything they do and should always protect them and provide for them. I need to write that down because that's brilliant. That needs to go in CLSology, which is getting close to being finished. It really is. I know you've been hearing that for how many fucking centuries? CLSology, Revision 1, is very close to being published. By very close, I mean sometime in the next 20 years. We're continuing her quote from her 12 pages of describing this experience that she was unconscious during. You have dragged me through this hell with you, dipped me back into the night, back into that night again and again. You were never dipped into it in the first place, honey. You were unconscious when it happened. Your damage was concrete. Stripped of my titles, degrees, enrollment. What? My damage was in... Oh, I see what she's saying. Your damage was concrete. Stripped of titles, degrees, enrollment. My damage was internal, unseen. I carry it with me. Right, because you're a victim, because you can't fucking get over it and move on, because you can't take any accountability, because you made a choice to get drunk like a dumb bitch that night, and you didn't foresee that getting drunk out behind the dumpster at a frat house might result in some frat boy sticking a cock inside of you, because it's never fucking occurred to you to have any fucking responsibility. It's never occurred to you that your actions may have consequences. Okay, if I go in a gay bar and I get really drunk and I wake up with a dick in my mouth, I can't sit there and go, oh my God, I had no clue that if I got really drunk in a gay bar, I might suck a guy's dick. Because see, I'm a man. I have agency. I have intelligence. I have responsibility. I can think. Oh shit, I gotta do that today. I just remembered something else I have to do today. Fuck! There's not enough hours in the day. It's the patriarchy's fault, Randy. God damn it. All right, anyway, let's get back to podcasting as I tangent all over the place. You took away my worth. No, honey, nobody can take away your worth. You gave that up. This is what I'm talking about. You took away. No, he did not take away your worth. So what you're saying is that now that a drunk friend, let's assume he was sober. I haven't seen anything yet saying he was drunk at the time. So what you're saying is because a frat boy stuck a cock inside your cunt behind a dumpster while you were drunk, you no longer have any worth? Really, that was your only worth. As you were going through your entire life, you're telling me the only reason you had any worth was because a frat boy had never stuck a cock inside your cunt while you were drunk behind a dumpster. That was your only source of worth, really. If that was in fact your only source of worth, then you were a worthless, dumb fucking cunt to begin with. You gave up your sense of worth because you can benefit from being a victim. That's what's happening here. You took away my worth, my privacy, No, the internet, the NSA, and the corporations took away your privacy, but you voted for Obama. My energy, my time. Okay, you're the one who got drunk and blacked out. My safety. No, wait, I thought the government was protecting. I thought the police were going to protect you. Isn't that the whole point of the guy? Obama's the president. You're on a college campus. How could you not be safe? My intimacy, my confidence, again, you gave that up. My own voice until today. Unfucking quote. Again, that's just like this most meaningless drivel, which is exactly what you expect from a feminist who's playing the victim. Turner was found guilty of 3 felony counts in March. Three felony counts of what? Prosecutors requested that Turner, who withdrew from Stanford after his arrest, be given 6 years in prison. Santa Clara County District Attorney Jeff Rosen expressed disappointment that the judge did not sentence Turner to prison. I didn't get what I wanted. Oh, I'm a victim. Quote, the punishment does not fit the crime, unquote. Rosen said in a statement, quote, the sentence does not factor in the true seriousness of this sexual assault or the victim's ongoing trauma. Now, the victim's ongoing trauma is a direct result of her ideology. The cock was inside her. The cock's not inside her anymore. There is no, like, if he was still walking around with his cock inside of her, and you know, then there'd be some ongoing trauma. There's no ongoing trauma. This is just victimology. The quote continues, campus rape is no different than an off-campus rape. Rape is rape. Okay, first of all, campus rape is different because most campus rapes didn't actually happen. They are fabricated and made up. And second of all, rape is rape. Well, no, it's not. Rape is not rape if a Muslim does it. This is from back home in the great state of Texas, where things are not quite as progressive as they are here in the People's Republic of Colorado. Traditional marriage rosary crusade. The St. Anne Society and St. Joseph Society are hosting the, quote, 2016 America Needs Fatima Traditional Marriage Rosary Crusade at the gazebo in downtown Schulenburg. The event will be held on feast day of St. Joseph, Saturday, March 19th at 12 noon, to pray for God's marriage and the traditional family. Look, praying for marriage and the traditional family is not going to help. What would help is, I don't know, let's see, natural selection? Grim sleeper serial killer gets death penalty. Los Angeles, a serial killer known as the Grim Sleeper should be sentenced to death for murdering 9 women and a teenage girl over more than 2 decades. In South Los Angeles, a jury decided Monday, Lonnie Franklin Jr. stared straight ahead and showed no emotion as a court clerk read 10 death penalty verdicts. I wonder if Lonnie went to public school. I wonder if Lonnie had a mother who failed to raise him right. I wonder if Lonnie was a product of a single mother household. I wonder if Lonnie's father was a sociopathic alpha male. I would love to know these questions, the answers to these questions. Family members of the victims cried as the verdicts were read. The 63-year-old Franklin, a former city trash collector, government employee, and garage attendant for Los Angeles Police, government employee, was convicted of 10 counts of first-degree murder last month for crimes dating back more than 30 years. So in other words, he couldn't get a job in the private sector. So in other words, in Ancapadice, this person would have died a long time ago from starvation because he was a sociopath and wouldn't be able to get a real job. Besides, aren't the police supposed to make people safer? Trump to surrogates. Escalate criticism of judge journalist. Excuse me. Hang on. I need a little less coffee, a little more water. I'm still getting caffeined up here. An embattled Donald Trump urgently rallied his most visible supporters to defend his attacks on a federal judge's Mexican ancestry during a conference call Monday in which he ordered them to question the judge's credibility and impugn reporters as racist. I love this languaging where they add in all. He urgently rallied. Oh. Journalist. Is it obvious that the journalists are against Donald Trump? Quote, "We will overcome," unquote, Trump said, according to two supporters who were on the call and requested an amenity. Quote, "And I've always won, and I'm going to continue to win, and that's the way it is." Unquote. There is no mention of apologizing or backing away from his widely criticized remarks about U.S. District Judge Gonzalo Curiel, whoever the fuck his name is. And first of all, why should Trump apologize? Second of all, again, just like everybody else Donald Trump has butted heads with, the fucking little cunt Katie Couric. No, not Katie Couric. Who's the cunt? Megyn Kelly. Same difference. They're all the same person. They're all these stupid bimbo cookie-cutter blondes who are only on TV because they're fuckable. And like this Hispanic lawmaker that I read in the first article, and like Megyn Kelly, this stupid judge, if it wasn't for Donald Trump, no one would know who these people are. Donald Trump has made these people. Without Donald Trump, these people would all still be completely unknown to anybody other than their families. Blah, 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 who is overseeing cases against the Trump University real estate program. When former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer interrupted the discussion to inform Trump that his campaign had asked surrogates to stop talking about the lawsuit in an email Sunday, Trump demanded to know who sent the memo and immediately overruled his staff. Quote, "Take that order and throw it the hell out," unquote, Trump said. This is why people like Trump, because Trump's not a pussy. You know, sure, there's plenty of things I can disagree with Trump about. I mean, he's a statist. I disagree with every statist aspect of who and what Trump is. But it's just like when I talk about the Muslims, as much as I dislike Muslims, right? What have I said? There's things you can say about Muslims. Muslims are not cowards. They are going into Europe, they are getting welfare, and they are raping white women. They put bombs on their bodies and blow themselves up. They fly airplanes into buildings. Are they fanatics? Are they religious wackos? Are they statist? Are they sociopaths? Do they smell bad? Absolutely. All of those things are true. They are not, under any fucking circumstances, cowards. As a whole, I'm sure there are some Muslim cowards. Okay, again, we're talking generalizing the group. They are not cowards. And I can respect that. Donald Trump is a statist piece of shit. But Donald Trump doesn't back down. He doesn't. That quote he said, "I'll apologize if I'm ever wrong one day." That's the part of Donald Trump that I can respect. And that's what's hilarious, is that that's the part of Donald Trump that offends everybody I know who doesn't like him, right? All the people I know that don't like Donald Trump, like personally, that come up in conversations, none of them have the slightest fucking clue about any of his policies on the wall. Everyone's heard about the wall between Mexico and the United States. Other than that, they know nothing about what Donald Trump is saying he's going to do or any of this other shit. And for that matter, neither do I, because I don't care. It doesn't matter. He's not going to do any of it. I've been through all that before. I'm not going to tangent on that right now. Obama, Blueprint for Change, it's coming. I'm going to do a podcast. We're going to go through the Blueprint for Change. We're going to see how much of what Obama said he was going to do actually happened. We're going to do that. You're going to find out almost nothing. He did almost nothing. You're listening to this podcast, you'll find out almost nothing because it's not educational or informative. It doesn't matter. The people who don't like Donald Trump, they don't like him because he moves through life with certainty, because he doesn't apologize for everything. And it's doubly hilarious, because I understand why men are afraid of that, because a lot of them, well, again, any man who doesn't like Donald Trump because Donald Trump is self-assured, that is a femisimp, that is a coward, that is a faggot, and I don't mean faggot in the homosexual sense, I mean faggot in the faggot sense. These are the quote-unquote, they're girly men. What cracks me up about the women who don't like Donald Trump because he's so confident is that the overly confident alpha bad boys like Donald Trump are exactly the ones that these women want to fuck, right? The Muslims that these women want to bring to the United States to rape them are exactly like Donald. You think that these Muslim rapists are walking around apologizing and shit? Told the memo was sent by Erica Freeman, a staffer who circulates information to surrogates. Trump said he didn't know her. As if Trump is supposed to know everybody who works for him. He openly questioned how the campaign could defend itself if supporters weren't allowed to talk. Quote, and see, this is why people like Donald Trump. This is why this is the part of Donald Trump I respect. This upcoming quote. Quote, are there any other stupid letters that were sent to you folks? That's one of the reasons I want to have this call, because you guys are getting sometimes stupid information from people that aren't so smart. Unquote. Hey, there it is. This is the part of Donald Trump that attracts people. The part where he just says shit that's true. Right? Megyn Kelly, go change your fucking tampon and shut your mouth. It's just true. Right? The media is filled with stupid people. It's just true. Brewer, who was on the call with prominent Republicans like Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi and former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, interjected again. Quote, you all better get on the page, unquote, she told him. Trump told his supporters to attack journalists who ask questions about the lawsuit and his comments about Curiel. Quote, the people asking the questions, those are the racist. I would go at him, unquote, Trump said. Trump said that the campaign should also criticize television reporters. And you should. What is this thing that people in the media have that, and I understand what it is, it's a rhetorical question. This whole thing where journalists think that they are somehow or another above criticism, right? You can't criticize, you can't call me a racist, I'm a journalist. You can't criticize me, I'm a journalist. No, I fucking can. I can absolutely criticize you. I can call you a racist because you are. You are racist against white people. You are sexist against heterosexual men. You are heterophobic. You are these things. And I can call you out on it. Man posted photo of dead girlfriend. A Texas man posted a photo of his dead girlfriend's body on her Facebook page Sunday after fatally stabbing her as part of a suicide pact, the police said. The image remained on the site for 36 hours. The man, Kenneth Alex Amix, 45, told authority. I wish I could blame this on millennials, but I can't. Kenneth, 45 years old, told authorities that him and his girlfriend, Jennifer Strite Spears, she has a hyphenated last name, Strite Spears. Again, this hyphenated last name, and she's fucking a man who she enters into a death pact with. Not very intelligent girl, she's 43 years old, had discussed a suicide pact for months. But wait, I thought euthanasia had to be made legal by the government for you to kill yourself. I thought you wouldn't be smart enough to kill yourself on your own. They had been drinking. Of course. Hey, oh, that's nothing. Watch this. Here, hold my beer. They had been drinking, of course. They had been drinking at an apartment in Plano and had agreed to stab each other until both died. What you should have done was taken the knife and chased down some police officers. The cops would have done the job right. Police department affidavit, blah, 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 according to police, blah, blah, blah. But Strite Spears, quote, chickened out, Amix said, and he had to, quote, finish her off, unquote. Officer David Tilley, a spokesman for the department, said Amix not only posted a photo of Strite Spears, hyphenated last name, just a reminder, nude and with her neck cut on her page. How'd he get her Facebook password? Don't give other people your Facebook password, guys. It's always a bad idea. And also posted a selfie. Randy, we're going a little bit long. It's just a little, I have to finish this. He also posted a selfie of his face covered in blood and the words, pray for us. Oh, again, let me ask you this. Without welfare, WIC, food stamps, Section 8 housing, whatever it is, would these people, would they still have been alive or would they have died a long time ago? Were either of these people products of single mothers? Did these people have public education? These are questions that inquire. See, anytime, you know what, anytime there's a fucking, if journalists weren't fucking worthless pieces of shit, which we know they are, if journalists were not inferior, unintelligent, worthless pieces of shit, every time they fucking wrote an article about anybody doing anything, there'd be a series of questions they would ask, right? Questions would be, okay, so we're right, and so we got Kenneth. Okay, did Kenneth have a mother? Was Kenneth raised by a single mother? Or did Kenneth have a father who lived with him? Did Kenneth attend public school? Did Kenneth ever receive any form of government welfare? Right, and there would be more. I mean, this is just stuff I'm making. But if there was any kind of integrity in journalism, there would be this whole series of questions like that that would be answered for every single person that pops up in a fucking news article. Okay, let me wrap this up so we can move on. It's breakfast time. The couple took turns cutting each other, Amix told authorities, but after she was cut, she became too weak to continue, he said. Amix's lawyer, Keith Gore, said he would seek to have his client's bond reduced. It was set at a total of $600,000 in the murder case and two other cases. There's two other cases? So yeah, apparently there are people who are in fact too fucking stupid to kill themselves. But you had a knife, guys, you had a knife. All you needed was a police officer, and you could have fucking killed yourself the right way. You could have killed yourself without fucking it up, and you could have killed yourself legally. It's just another